This is Will's Band of the Week for March 3rd, 2013. Hello and welcome to another edition of Will's Band of the Week. This is Will, along with Barrett.
Hello.
And Chris.
I'm here.
I think the furnace is taking a rest. I'm not hearing the furnace at all.
Yeah, it's not on right now. It'll kick on eventually.
Yeah, it's not really. By our standards these days, it's probably, 28 out there or something? So your furnace isn't going totally. I mean, to some people, 28 probably seems really cold. But to us, 28 is about just sort of an average winter temperature, right?
Yeah, I was
we're talking Fahrenheit here.
Yeah, right, Fahrenheit.
Clear.
I was in Washington, D.C. last week and expected it to be a little warmer than it was, and it was low 30s, so chilly.
Wow. You didn't.
I was underprepared.
Did not get the balmy weather, huh?
I did not.
Seems like in the middle of a winter here, if you travel anywhere, you expect it to be warmer, right?
Right.
Then you can get disappointed.
So I've got a live studio audience here with me.
Dog?
I've got Wilson. He's watching and listening to me. So, he's been bugging me for months just to sit in and watch me record, just to see what we do. And one day I was just like, fine. Next time you can sit and listen. So...
This will get it out
of
the
way. I'm a little self-conscious. It's kind of weird.
He won't want to do it again. He'll say, Dad, that was really boring.
Yeah. Right now he looks pretty entertained. But he's also got his Game Boys and stuff, so maybe that's what's keeping him entertained.
He probably can't hear Chris and I, though, right?
He cannot hear you guys.
Yeah.
That was going to be my first question.
Yeah, the problem is you put on a speaker, we're going to get feedback. And then
you heard him?
We heard him just a little bit there, yeah.
Oh, okay.
But if you put us on a speaker, it would be total feedback.
Right, it would sound terrible.
Yeah.
So anything that's important that you guys say that he needs to know, I'll relay on to him.
Okay.
I don't anticipate there being anything like that, but you never know.
You don't have the second set of headphones. You don't have the sophisticated studio like we've got over here.
Now he's trying to just stand right next to me. And here, this is not going to work. Wilson, you got to get back over there.
Put
it
on speaker.
No.
Yeah, we can hear him just fine.
Yeah.
And the furnace just fired up, so.
Oh, I heard it, yeah.
So you can hear that there. I was just perusing the Will's Band of the Week Spotify playlist, and it appears there are a couple new songs on there.
I'm assuming
that has something to do with all your breaking news.
Right. Yeah, unfortunately, that'll give you a little bit of a clue because, we'll talk about that in a moment. Okay, so let's go with my first bit of news. I went to see Passion Pit at the Orpheum last weekend.
Hmm.
And here's the interesting thing that'll be of absolutely no interest to the listeners because most of them don't live in Madison. But it's still interesting, I think. The Orpheum Theater, have you guys been in there lately?
Not since they reopened it.
So this is one of these old theaters... kind of classic old theater, pretty big. I think the capacity is 1,700. And they had some questionable owners who basically ran it into the ground and it closed, 6 or 8 months ago? And then some promoters somehow reopened it to book shows there, and they've been booking a whole bunch of shows there now. And so this is the first time I've been there since they reopened it. Have you guys been to the Barrymore recently?
How recently?
I don't know, in the last couple of years?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, now I don't know how long it's been this way, but in the Barrymore, they took out the first 15 rows of seats so that it could just be a floor area where people could either dance or just sort of pack up to the front of the stage. So back in the old days, the Barrymore wasn't like that, but the last couple times I've been there, they removed these front seats. So now they did the same thing at the... Orpheum, and it was pretty cool. It actually worked. The reason it works is everybody who wants to go crowd to the front can crowd to the front, and there's a lot of room, so room for quite a good number of people. And then if you're an older person, like my wife and I, who didn't feel like standing in a crowd, you go up to the balcony, and if you get toward the front of the balcony, the view up there is great.
Right.
So we thought it was really good, and the sound quality was really good. And you know, Passion Pit is sort of an electronic-type band, so I think the sound quality matters. So sounded really good. So
yeah, cool.
That means I get to play some Passion Pit. So this is what it sounded like, just like this. Passion Pit. So it was sold out, and the crowd was really enthusiastic, so it was really pretty cool.
Wow.
I'm surprised that's sold out.
Well, they're kind of
big. Because Tegan and Sarah are playing on the same night at the Majestic, and they're you know, they're pretty big.
Tegan and Sarah played the following night also at the Orpheum.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well,
now, I don't know if
never
that one's,
mind that. Then.
I don't know if that one sold out. Now, it could be that they moved it.
They didn't. It was pretty small, pretty bad crowd.
Oh, really?
From what I heard, yeah.
Huh.
My eyewitness reports.
Oh, you had a reporter out in the field?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, well, anyway, yeah, it was great. And the band before them was Matt and Kim. You guys ever heard Matt and Kim?
I have heard of them. They had a tour a couple of years ago. It's called Matt and Kim Best Friends. FWENDS.
Oh.
I'm like, I don't need to listen to that. I can do without that.
The Flaming Lips did that.
Yeah, they did.
But
it was different when they did it. I don't know why.
So, I'd heard of Matt and Kim. So, that one of the cool things about Spotify, of course, is that you can just listen to anything at any moment. So, a few days beforehand, I thought, well, maybe I should find the latest Matt and Kim album and listen to it a little bit. So, I listened to a little bit, and I said to myself, I just can't bring myself to listen to the whole thing. Musically, you know, they definitely fit in that whole pop genre kind of, you know, I would say they're a good match for Passion Pit, but their songs just aren't that good. But live, they just kind of go nuts, so they're so enthusiastic that it's like, I was saying that my son would probably hate them because he would think that this enthusiasm just can't possibly be sincere, you know. And,
mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know, but man, they really they put on the live show, so it kind of made up for their marginal music, and it was actually kind of entertaining. So
they don't brood enough for him,
right? Exactly. They don't brood enough for me either. But they put on the show. The drummer is Kim, and she like once per song, she stands on top of either the bass drum stool or the bass drum itself, like stands on top of it and starts like screaming and stuff. So you kind of have to be there. All right, there's my live report. And you guys got anything music news wise or anything? Because I've got one more thing, but I don't want to dominate the podcast.
Some guy that joined the Temptations in like 1970, he died of prostate cancer. So,
wow.
I don't know his name, so we can't play the, you know, the theme music.
What is
he was after that. after the golden years, though.
Yeah, kind of in the declining years.
Do we really start celebrating these guys that, like, you know, they join like Journey after Steve Perry leaves, like right. these kind of villains, or are we only bound to celebrate those who were in the original band?
Well,
yeah. Well, I think
I can't limit it to only originals, right?
Not originals, but I think they need to have been in the band when the band still kind of mattered, right? Not when they were just doing the reunion tours and stuff.
Right.
That'd be my rule.
Yeah. Well, the Temptations weren't like a novelty or like a, what's the word I'm looking for? Nostalgic thing at that time. They were still, you know, a going concern. So I say that we do get to memorialize this nameless person.
What if you were like the...
So here's to you, guy.
You deem yourself VP of adequate or...
yes.
Proportional grievance.
Yes.
For music. Okay, good.
I was thinking...
Proportional.
What if you were like the bass player for Liberace from age like 70 to 80 in Vegas?
That would...
It's a little late,
not...
right?
Pass.
But even if you're that the bass player for down. Liberace at age 40, I guess it's not that impressive either, right?
Right. Yeah, so, probably not.
One time I was in Las Vegas, I think it was when I turned 30, so this is a long time ago, and it was something I thought I would never do, go to Vegas, so I found a couple friends and we said, let's do something we would never do. We went to Las Vegas. We saw a Liberace impersonator, among a bunch of other impersonators. I was thinking, God, an impersonator of somebody, and you wouldn't even want to see the original. That's kind of bad, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was kind of bad. I think my wife saw actual Liberace, like, live.
Wow.
Yeah.
She saw actual Liberace?
The real Liberace, yep, not an impersonator. And Elvis. She saw Fat Elvis.
Not his boyfriend who got plastic surgery. We've been over this, but his younger lover, who was younger by, like, 20 years...
Oh, Liberace, right?
Yes, yeah. He made him get surgery, plastic surgery, to look exactly like Liberace.
Yeah, that's right.
He actually looked like him himself.
Like the young...
This is all documented in a documentary called Behind the Chandelier or something, or Behind the Candelabra.
Wow. Oh, man.
Could you guys hear me there saying, hello, can you hear me?
I never heard you say hello, can you hear me?
I lost you.
Oh.
And
now your sound quality went down just a little bit.
Huh.
Yeah. Blame the internet. It's the internet's fault.
I do have a couple quick things. First of all, I saw we in my basement saw the movie. What was that movie? Studio City by Dave Grohl.
Studio City. Yeah.
There is also another movie. Dave Grohl just keeps cranking out the movies. There's a documentary made about the Foo Fighters called Back and Forth, just kind of about the history of the Foo Fighters. And I watched that movie, and it was kind of the same thing. It was like the first hour is kind of documentary style, and then the last hour is just about him working in the studio and ends up just kind of being an advertisement for his new album or whatever. But I thought that was fairly interesting. Secondly... I was watching Saturday Night Live a couple weeks ago, and I'd always known of the band, the Alabama Shakes.
Yeah.
But they gave one of what I think is probably one of the best musical guest spots on Saturday Night Live that I'd ever heard. Like, I was just blown away after I heard them on there. And I went back and I listened to their album and liked it well enough, but I just thought they were just outstanding on that show. They probably made themselves a lot of money, so... I'm going to go back and mine their catalog.
I think they only have one album, don't they?
Is this their first one?
Well, it's the first one that anybody really knows about.
Yeah.
Yeah, I listened to it a little bit. I kind of liked it too, and they have this reputation of being a really good live band, so it doesn't surprise me.
Yeah. So that's all I got news-wise.
All right. This is what I've got. And now it's time for the quiz question of the week.
Okay.
got a quiz question for you guys.
All right, let's hear it.
Is the suspense building now?
It's suspenseful.
Yeah. Okay. Name the indie rocker who won an Oscar this week.
Do they give Oscars for, like, you know, music, or is it somebody that was an actor?
It's somebody who was an indie rocker and now is doing something other than being an indie rocker.
Can we ask any questions? Like
a 20 questions thing?
Yeah, or maybe like 4.
Go ahead.
All right. Was this person an actor?
No. Oh, wait a minute. Oops. Wait a minute. Yes.
Okay. Let's see.
Jennifer Lawrence.
Do you consider Ben Affleck an indie rocker?
No. That's two. You've got two left. I think the buzzer's got to go. I need a buzzer sound effect now, don't I?
Yeah. Yeah.
The Oscar for Best Live Action Short Film. It was a film called Curfew. And the writer and director is a guy named Sean Christensen, who is the lead singer for the band Stella Star. Here's one of their songs. Stella Star. That was from the album Harmonies for the Haunted. That song is called Love and Longing. And I always liked that song. It always reminded me of a John Hughes movie. I love those old John Hughes movies.
Yeah, it does have an 80s vibe to it.
Yeah, it has a kind of nostalgic feel to it. So anyway, congratulations.
That was one of Grant's early favorite bands, as I recall.
Yeah, I think he liked them when he was, you know, 10 or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of cool. So anyway, isn't that kind of cool? The guy, he was an indie rocker, and then his band kind of died off, and he started directing short films. So the reason I had to correct myself is he's in the film also. He's the writer and director, and he's an actor in the film, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
It's not usually successful the other way, where somebody is an actor and they decide to make music.
Right.
That never works.
You mean you're not a big fan of 30-odd foot of grunt from Russell Crowe? That's his band name.
Oh, God.
Wasn't there a band called, like, Juliet Lewis and the Kicks or something like that?
Yeah, well, I don't know what the name of the band was, but she made an album.
And this is another news item, I guess. There was just a blip in the news that said that Scarlett Johansson is forming a band.
She's had, like, jazz albums and stuff, yeah.
She did a thing with Tom Waits, too.
Or, yeah, it was like a cover of all Tom Waits songs or something.
Wasn't it like a duet with Tom Waits? I can't remember anymore.
I thought it was like a cover album of his songs or something.
Yeah.
Well,
that does not sound like essential listening.
Well,
to me.
We'll find out.
Actually, one of my favorite artists, however, was a child star and grew up to be a fairly Lewis. Absolutely. Fairly well known. Would you consider like these people on the the Muppet Show, not the Mickey Mouse Club and stuff that grow up, like Justin Timberlake. Would you consider them to be actors turned musicians? Britney Spears.
Or Annette Cello.
If you're a child
actor. Looking way a little back a little further.
It's a...
Christina Aguilera, I believe, was on... was on that show and went on to singing stardom.
What did Jenny Lewis do as a kid?
She was on some sitcom or something.
Yeah, I don't know either. I was curious to go back at one time, and then I looked it up, and whatever it was, I wasn't really that familiar with anyway. You know, it's not like she was on...
Yeah, she wasn't a big star as a kid.
Right. It was kind of a minor show.
Did you guys remember that Steve Burns, who was the host of Blue's Clues, the kids' show?
Yes.
He quit the show to become a rocker.
And he put and
he
like,
was like hanging out with Wayne
the
Coyne. The
Flaming Lips.
Stuff.
Right, right.
Yeah.
He was hanging out with the Flaming Lips, and then he just disappeared. He like he went like AWOL, and like nobody knew where he was for years. I'm not even sure if he's surfaced.
Really?
Yeah.
So it was like a thing, like, where is this guy, right?
Yeah.
Or is it that you didn't know where he was?
No, I think like there were literally like nobody knew where he went.
Wow.
Yeah.
I checked him out while my kids were young enough where they were watching Blue's Clues. And the album actually was actually not bad.
Like, right. It had,
it was definitely very lipsy.
Right. It had that production to it. Right.
So it wasn't like blues.
No.
Okay.
No, it kind of had, you know, like a little folk mixed in with like kind of heavy drums and a little weirdness. So it was a legitimate album. Jenny Lewis, incidentally, was on a Jell-O commercial as a youngster. She was on a 1986 Lucille Ball sitcom, Life with Lucy, as she was one of Lucy's grandchildren. And then she had small roles on shows such as The New Twilight Zone, Baywatch, Golden Girls, Growing Pains, Roseanne, Mr. Belvedere, and something called Brooklyn Bridge.
Wow, so, that's like, holy
that's
crap.
That's quite a resume.
Wow.
Yeah.
She has become kind of a popular guest to have on your album. You know, like there's a track where she sings. There are a couple recent things. Can't remember what they are now.
I would dare I say she is probably like the first lady of indie rock, I would say right now.
Yeah, could
now would you pick somebody else? Somebody like Feist or somebody?
I don't know. Now her Cat band was Rilo Kiley, right?
Yes. Yeah. She has done a solo album as well.
Yeah.
Yes. But when you were talking Oscars, I was trying to think of the music category, and of course Adele won for her pretty awful James Bond movie soundtrack song.
Yeah.
Oh, I know the biggest crossover from acting to music. Someone that was a very famous actor in the 50s and then became quite well known as a singer. You guys have a guess?
Mm.
And he's dead.
You need the quiz question of the week jingle. But we used it already.
I already used it.
I don't know. I don't know. Who is it?
Ricky Nelson.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think he's a Rock and Roll Hall of Famer, in fact. So,
interesting.
Yep.
That's good. Way to pull out the trivia. That's good.
Then, of course, he birthed the brothers in the band Nelson
from the 80s. Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah. Wow. What happened to those guys?
They're among the hundreds of casualties from the pop scene of the 80s.
Yeah. I saw him opening up for Monster Magnet in 1989 in Fond du Lac.
Well, that was a pretty fast fall then, because it was only like 86 or 87 that they were popular.
Yeah. Yep.
Wait, what year did you say?
89.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Huh.
No, it's just I totally made that up.
Oh.
So what are those guys doing now?
What are they doing now?
Yeah. We need the where are they now.
Yeah.
Answer.
Well, that's it. Yeah, that could be another segment on future podcasts.
Where are they now?
Where are they now?
Yeah.
And then we just look it up on Wikipedia.
Right.
Well, it's and a then service. Read it right off of there.
It's a service for people.
Yeah. Yes. Their big song was I Can't Live Without Your Love and Affection. Or maybe it stops somewhere in the middle of that sentence. I can't live without your love and affection. I don't know. But that was the refrain of the song.
Oh, so you remember that, or are you looking that up right now?
No, I remember that.
Right.
They both had the platinum blonde hair.
Yeah, I can kind of picture one of them. Were they twins?
They looked a lot alike if they weren't twins.
Yeah.
One of them had plastic
surgery.
I'm
going to look it up. Well, you guys need to talk.
The younger guy had to have plastic surgery to look exactly like the older guy. right?
Maybe he had plastic surgery, looked like Liberace.
Yeah.
as any right-thinking person would do.
Right. You can't argue with success. So, all right. I think clearly I can hear Barrett looking this thing up because his phone's like just going crazy.
Apparently, he has like a signed photo of them underneath a big stack of papers or something because there's a lot of rustling going
right.
on.
He's looking for it so that he can be inspired. Yeah.
There's a rustling noise?
Yes.
I must be
there
covering
was.
Up the microphone with my hand as I'm going on Safari on my phone here.
I think so.
I'll try to keep it down.
Yeah, hold I think on. That's happening. Yeah. All right. Is it time to move on to the actual music segment?
I believe so.
This is going to be a good one this week. So let's do it. Let's talk about Nightbeds. Nightbeds is sort of a guy, but he's got a band. He has an actual band. But the singer-songwriter guy is named Winston Yellen. He's from Colorado Springs, but he moved to Nashville. And I think when you hear the music, you'll agree that it does sound more like a guy who would move to Nashville than a guy who would move to Brooklyn, right?
Correct.
Yeah. So the album is called Country Sleep, and it is very good. And we'll talk more about it, but I think that the hit is strong enough that we should just play that and then go from there. So here it is, Ramona. Nightbeds, that's Ramona from the album Country Sleep, the first album, and it's great. I love it. That's what I'm going to say. That's like one of my favorite songs in a long time. It's great.
Yes, that's definitely going to be one of my favorite songs of the year, without a question. My only beef with that song is the use of an expletive in the middle of the song, because I love... you know, listen to it with my kids, and then it's like, I don't know. I feel like more like of the types of the bands that we would listen to swear more in songs because they don't need the radio to have them popular anymore.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Like I just blocked that out because I didn't even notice.
Yeah? But,
yeah.
Yeah, there's a great version of that song live in a Nashville studio on YouTube. So go check that out. And he kind of muffles it there, so you can't even really kind of hear what he's saying. But yeah, it's just outstanding. It's a great song. And when I first heard it, I'm not a huge Ryan Adams fan, but that was kind of my first reference point there. And so I emailed you guys, and Baird verified that for me. But
yeah,
that song is definitely different than the rest of the album.
Yeah, it's a little poppier, a little catchier, but the album is really strong, I think. Barrett, what do you want to say about this?
Well, I agreed that it was definitely sounded like Ryan Adams. And I listened to it a few times and liked it well enough, but I didn't take to it the way that you guys seem to have.
Huh?
You guys are all over it.
Yeah, we're definitely. Yeah. Well, I am, man. Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds like Chris is too.
Well, let's find out. Yeah. Did you have a track that caught you enough that you want to play it?
How about track number 5?
I think that's Borrowed Time.
And now I've sought forgotten dreams. I till and pine for you to sing. No stone unturned is left to keep. I give you now my own admission. I'm living on some borrowed time, and I signs led me from my homestead state. Now I'm racing west in some faint moonlight. Morning light breaks as I told you.
Night Beds. I should mention they also did a Tiny Desk concert on NPR. They sound pretty good in front of Bob Boylan's desk also.
You know what else it sounds a little bit like is M. Ward.
Yeah, that one in particular does.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I'll buy that.
Yeah.
As I've said before, listening to the kind of the lesser known indie music that we listen to, sometimes you have to make sacrifices as far as how well a guy sings or, you know, his voice, but not in this case. I mean,
right.
I think his voice is just out of this world. And I think a lot of the best songs on this album, the instrumentation is just really spare. And some of them are just, like, I know the first and the third songs are essentially just him singing, almost a cappella. And it's just great. And so to kind of give a flavor of that, I would pick song number 3, which is called Even If We Try.
Even if we try, even if we try to make ourselves all right, to mend our severed lives, while all the rivers rage, descend upon the sage, alone in willowed eaves, I lift my voice to sing. Ooh.
Nightbeds. Yeah. It's a standout for sure.
Yep, I was listening to that a lot while I was in D.C., specifically when I was touring Ford's Theater where Abraham Lincoln was shot, too.
Ah,
so.
Yes.
Wow.
Did you go across the street then to the Peterson
Waffle
Inn
House?
Or whatever it's called? Waffle.
No. There's honestly, there's a place called the Lincoln Waffle House right across the street. They're obviously, you know, they're trying to cash in on the whole
assassination.
Wow.
But you did go across the street to the where they took him, right? Like where he died?
No, I didn't.
You didn't?
Actually.
Yeah, no. You go right across the street. Like after he died, well, no, not after he died. He was still alive, but mortally wounded.
This is where they took Daniel Day-Lewis or Abraham Lincoln?
Abraham Lincoln, yeah. And they like carried him directly across the street, and there was a rooming house. And, you know, that's where there's that spindly bed and stuff that was too short, and you know they all gathered around him, and you know they were going to try to bring him back to the White House, and they're like, he's not going to make it.
Yeah.
So that he died right over there. You shouldn't have gone across the street.
No,
literally right there.
Well, you'd think somewhere on the tour they would mention this, but
yeah,
no.
You'd think.
But yeah, for those people who haven't read the book Ransom, or not Ransom, what am I saying? What's it called?
Manhunt?
Manhunt by James L. Swanson. It's an outstanding book.
Awesome book.
Yeah. You just can't put it down. And for those of you not in America and don't care about Abe Lincoln or who he was, then read it anyway because it's good.
Right.
People around, you know, outside the United States, people don't really know who Abraham Lincoln is.
Yeah, I think they do.
I know, I'm just kidding.
But yeah, it's like we can't name the prime minister of, you know.
Yeah, I know.
Whatever.
I've read books about like
in Australia. Is there what's the leader and is it a prime minister or the president? That's pathetic. Yeah. I don't even know.
Right.
That's sad. Sorry, guys.
Well, who would be the biggest like Australian political figure, historical political figure? Mel Gibson?
No, the guy from Midnight Oil.
Oh, that's man. Bad. Americans are the worst.
Sorry, guys.
I'd read books about like Winston Churchill and stuff, but
yeah. Okay.
All right, this Nightbeds album is good enough. We've got to play one more. So, and we've only played stuff from the first half. So let's move up to track 8, Lost Springs.
Oh my God, I've gone too far. The cause was mine, I know. Upon their foot to fare the night, the cause was mine to hold. All my faults, did you hear my cries? And you watched me fall, but you paid no mind to my worry eyes. I am doing fine, but man, I'm just tired. And oh, are you able to
There you go. A sampling of Night Beds. At least two of us are giving this a very high recommendation. And Barrett thinks it's okay.
Yeah, that's good. I like it. I just, it didn't, you know, I don't know. I guess it didn't affect me the same way.
All right.
That's okay.
Yeah. Okay. So we got another band.
It made me a foot taller, so it didn't do the same for you.
Wow. Maybe I should give it another chance. You guys want to hear some Nelson's trivia before we move on?
Would love to.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because I interrupted the podcast making all that noise. Now I got to at least give the listeners the payoff. So hold on one sec.
Okay.
What is happening right now?
I'm not sure.
What?
No, go ahead.
Okay. See, I can't. I have to, like, look it up on my phone. See? It's like it's kind of unnatural, but I'll just give you the what I can remember from it rather than trying to read it.
Okay.
This is a long lead up to Nelson.
They formed in 1990. And they're still together. Still together as the Nelsons. Sometimes they also perform 1990, yeah. Sometimes they also perform as Ricky Nelson Remembered as a tribute to their dad. And also they're in the Guinness Book of World Records. The family, which goes all the way back to like Nelson, like Ozzy and Harriet Nelson, they had a number one hit. I don't know what that one was. But then, of course, their dad did, and they did too. First time that's ever been done. So there you go.
Do these guys speak Spanish?
I don't know.
Because on Spotify, when you dial up Nelson, you get this some stuff in Spanish. Chega te para mim.
Yeah, it must be somebody else.
Oh, that's Nelson.
A little Norteño music.
This is from 2013. It's brand new.
Wow. Kind of a crossover hit.
Yeah, they do have a Can't Live Without Your, that's in parentheses, Can't Live Without Your, and then Love and Affection.
See, I knew it was broken up somehow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's see. Oh, that's good memory you got there.
That's right here.
And they...
You can talk over it.
They were...
Why would
they
you?
They still are. They're twins.
They are no longer twins.
Yeah. You know, whenever we talk over the music, that is the ultimate disrespect.
Yeah,
isn't
especially
it?
During the singing, yeah.
You only really do it for things that you know, merit scorn like this.
Right.
I don't remember that song at all.
I don't either. How about She's Gone, the radio edit?
Ooh, I'm liking this one.
It's
the funny thing is, this has never been played on the radio anywhere.
Even though it's a radio edit, yeah.
Generally, radio edits are never played on the radio.
Right.
Like,
why? Whatever this song is, why is there a radio edit? Like, is it like a 15-minute thing?
Yeah, I don't know.
Or profanity laced?
The radio edit is 3 minutes 21 seconds. So, yeah.
Yes, because I'm sure the original was not fit for radio.
Right. Yeah. Well, it omits the 5-minute trombone intro. They get right into the music.
Maybe the drum beat was just too intense for the radio on the original. They had to kind of tone it down because it would just cause people to totally just freak out or something.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, like unsafe to listen to in your car.
Right.
This beat is just too incendiary.
Yeah.
You'll be too much of a slave to the groove if you listen to this in your car.
My friends and I, we used to call... like certain dance music, it would have a bass drum sound that was like this really like intense, like punchy bass sound. We used to call it car bass drum because it sounded like you were like slapping on the mat of your car. Let's see if I do this in Fourth Bedroom Studios. Let me try to do a car bass drum. Okay, here we go. How'd that sound?
That sounded pretty good.
The plausible bass drum.
We could sample that. That was my foot on the floor. All right.
It sounds like the intro to I Will Follow. By you too.
Well, I'll have to go back and listen to that. see how it turned out. All right. Our next band is called Veronica Falls, and they're from London. They moved to London from somewhere else.
Brooklyn?
No, they stayed on the same continent, I think. You know what? A couple of them lived in Glasgow. I know that. And they've convened in London.
There is definitely a Glasgow influence there.
Well, they have the twee thing, right? I call them twee. Do you think they should be twee? The only thing is that they're kind of more of a rock band than the band. They're not really Belle and Sebastian-like, right?
Right. Yeah, there's that influence there, though. I mean, considering that, like, Belle and Sebastian and Camera Obscura and what other bands are from Glasgow that would be comparable? They definitely don't have the like the violins and that kind of preciousness.
Right. They're more of a guitar band. Yeah.
Right. More of an Allo Darlin type.
Right. So well, their second album just came out called Waiting for Something to Happen. And I know you liked it, Chris, so maybe we'll give you the first pick on this one.
Ooh. I do like this album a great deal. You actually recommended the two albums that we're doing tonight, and you are 100% correct on both of them. Let me pick a song here. We'll go with number 9, which is called Buried Alive.
Veronica Falls.
Yep, that's good. It's good stuff. I'm going to let you guys talk for a bit. I got to go make sure our studio audience brushes his teeth.
All right.
Goes to bed. So I'm going to set the phone down. I'll be right back.
Oprah does that a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
We need to take a break so our audience can
brush their teeth. It doesn't smell too good in the auditorium tonight. So, yeah. All right. Yeah. I'll pick one then.
Yeah.
Let's go. I'm going to be. I'm not doing well in the deep cuts this time. I do have sort of a deep cut to pick, but I think we need to play the hit. Track 2, Teenage.
Thank you.
Veronica Falls.
Yeah, there you go. You know, I mean, we've heard a lot of bands that kind of sound like this in the last few years, but yeah. I would definitely put them near the top of the heap.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's not like we haven't heard like this kind of music before. It's not totally original, but it's pretty darn catchy, right?
Yeah.
Pretty absolutely. Good songwriters. Yeah. Well, as long as Barrett's audience is brushing their teeth, why don't we just keep playing some more?
Let me go with the song after the song that I picked before, number 10. It's called Falling Out.
That was going to be my deep cut, so I'm just going to take credit for that.
All right.
I can hear your furnace now, by the way.
Yeah, I just clicked on.
It's a well-oiled machine. Okay, here we go. Falling Out. Faded out into Chris's furnace. It's kind of a smooth transition there.
Yes.
Sounds
good. A little
good.
Ambient noise.
Right. Right. Veronica Falls, waiting for something to happen. Hey, Barrett, yeah. You there?
I am back,
oh,
yes.
Oh, he's back. All right. Did your audience brush its teeth?
The audience brushed their teeth?
Each other's teeth or their
water?
Own?
Well, it's just the one. It's just the one. And he brushed his teeth.
See, it's kind of sad. I feel sad because Barrett, he's over at his house, and he's only got one person in his audience. I'm sitting here. There's 75 people, like, right outside the room here. You know, and I'm sure that Chris has got, like, at least 50 over at his house.
Wow.
And Barrett's only got one. See, I feel kind of bad for you.
That's weird because, yeah, that's never happened before. But I guess this time you guys just got these big audiences.
Well, I asked them to stay quiet because there's like sort of a reverence.
They're very quiet.
Yeah, they're kind of in. I just peered open there. They're really staying nice and quiet.
That's
I've got that sign on the door. It says podcast in session, you know. They're respecting it. So, Barrett, did you listen to Veronica Falls?
Not very much.
So,
to be honest, I've moved on to something else that I've been listening to a lot.
Okay, in post-production, we're going to find out what that is.
We'll find out what that is.
Is it the one you mentioned like a week or two ago? Yeah. Yeah. I think
we're
going to talk about
that.
And
then I had to go back and listen to all this person's other stuff.
Oh. Okay. So that's going to be good.
I'm immersed in that.
But that
is
means
it
I
Nelson?
Get to...
Nelson. Exactly.
Next week Nelson. Is a Nelson special. We're going to each pick our 10 favorite songs by Nelson.
Oh, how? Right. Yeah, I don't know how I can do that. That's tough. That is going
to
be tough.
When you get to 9, 10, and 11, it's just so difficult when you get to that point.
Right.
It's like,
what makes the list?
God.
We're going to have to do like one show that, you know, is going to be just like the honorable mention show. It's like, these are all the great songs that didn't make our top tens.
Yeah.
You know, so it's going to have to be like a two-parter. Or like your favorite songs where Gunner is the lead singer.
Who is?
The other guy. Gunner. You guys don't know their names?
No, I don't know.
Gunner
and
Matthew the other guy.
And Gunner.
Oh.
Yes, Matthew and Gunner.
Oh, see, I didn't even know this. Okay. All right, well, I'm going to take one more crack here at getting Barrett interested in this Veronica Falls album. Let's play one more. Track 3, Broken Toy. There you have it, a sampling of Veronica Falls.
That would have been the song that I picked. Also the song that my son would have picked.
Yeah.
While we're tracking. Chris and I are tracking
tonight.
You guys
are tracking big time.
That's right.
You know, you're not often like in complete agreement about stuff.
Yeah.
By my recollection.
Will and I, our taste is probably a lot more different than yours and my taste are, Barrett.
Yeah, I'd say so too. So,
but not this week.
You guys are finding some common ground here.
Not this week.
Yep. All right.
Huh. I feel like an outsider.
Yeah. Well, come to the studio next week, and then you will be an insider again.
All right. I'll do that.
All right. Anything else? I think it's getting to be time to sign off. We've made it over an hour, so we're giving the listeners their money's worth again. Their enjoyment per dollar has increased this week.
I kind of feel like when they bought a computer to begin with, they had a podcast like ours in mind. Maybe not our podcast, but...
You mean like anybody who bought a computer?
Yeah.
Why else would you have a computer?
Right. So you could listen to our podcast.
Right.
I can't think of a better reason, really. And the great thing is you can just press the subscribe button and you get it every week.
How do you contact us?
Well, I'm going to tell you guys that. But before I do that, we're going to say goodnight. So goodnight, everybody. We'll talk to you again next week with another edition of Will's Band of the Week. Goodnight.
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 You can contact this podcast by sending an email to willsband@yahoo.com or by posting a comment on the webpage, willsband.net. You can also contact us through the Will's Band of the Week Facebook page or on Twitter @willsband. You can also, of course, download the podcast on iTunes, the Stitcher app, or any other podcasting app. The Will's Band of the Week podcast is brought to you every week from Fourth Bedroom Studios in Madison, Wisconsin.